Jake Snake, DDTing him in mausoleums, macabre massacres, killing cuss in my coliseum. They all act. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com. It's been quite an eventful week, if any of you have been paying attention to everything going on. So, of course, we brought on quite a large team to talk about all the results from this past weekend. Of course, first off, I have our senior editor, Jerome Cusan, on. Jerome, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. I spent part of my weekend in Cleveland for the two nights of the JT Lightning Invitational, as well as Girls Night Out, which had an unusual amount of males on it. We'll get to that a little bit later. And I've just been watching a lot of wrestling. I watched Don't Sweat the Technique from PWG, among other things. So a lot of wrestling that I have been watching this weekend.
We also have our own Brian, who was at the PWG. So, Brian, how are you doing, sir? Apparently you just came back from a really great movie, right?
Yeah, don't watch Tomorrowland, everybody. Brad Bird, you got to stick to cartoons, because you can't really direct live action well at all. Go see Mad Max, or maybe see it twice, three times. But, yeah, PWG was awesome and weird with the booking. But we'll get to that in a bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing Mad Max on Wednesday, so good for me. And then, of course, we also have Dave on, who went to Chikara and had a lot of fun. He's going to be talking about that. Dave, how are you doing, sir?
I was also in Cleveland as well, so I did...
Yes, you were, everywhere.
Yeah, I did four shows, 3 days, a lot of driving between Cleveland and, eastern Pennsylvania. But, yeah, it was a fun weekend.
Awesome. So, of course, lots of stuff going on in independent pro wrestling and apparently out of it, which we're going to talk about that too. But before we get started, of course, I want to mention that the Tier 1 $5 off ticket sale is still going on. You got about 45 minutes left on that. They have a really great show prepared for their debut. It's got Tommaso Ciampa, Luke Hawks, Rude Boy Riley all set in the main event, along with another opponent to be announced. Lots of good stuff coming to New York City. Really great show. So I encourage everyone, go get your tickets now. Get $5 off still. You got lots of time going there. We also have our winners of our IPW trading card giveaway. It was Juan Morales, Colin Mooney, Keith DeBrico, Henry Rivers, and Craig Weber. So congrats to you guys. You're all going to be getting some cards from IPW, courtesy of us, and of course IPW trading cards. So we encourage everyone to go check them out. IPWtradingcards.com. So, Brian, I'm going to start off with you. PWG, of course, a lot of fun. DDT4 happened. We've had, several new tag team champions on the show, but ultimately at the end, Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee won the tournament and are also the new PWG tag team champions. Of course, all the results you can check out on our website, pwponderings.com/results. We have Chikara, the AAA Lucha Libre World Tour, tournament, obviously PWG as well, and AIW. So go check it out there. But Brian, first off, the most important question, was Ronda Rousey at the show?
No, but some of the horsewomen were still there, and I got to stand next to them at the bar and chat a little bit with them. Just, that was kind of cool. I think I'm just going to stand next to the bar the whole time now, just because you can actually just like meet up with everybody and be like, oh my God, it's the celebrity. And yeah, so I think that's my good thing now, as long as it's not the women's room.
Yeah, because that's just a little odd. But Brian, so how was the show overall? I mean, I saw a lot of GIFs online. I saw a lot of the results, and obviously you were tweeting them on our Twitter at PW Ponderings. So, yeah, I mean, you saw the Beaver Boys. Obviously, they defeated Team Tremendous. You had the Inner City Machine Guns defeat Drew Gulak and Biff Busick. We're going to be talking about them also a little bit later about some possible tryouts I guess they could be getting. You know, you had Speedball, Mike Bailey, Matt Sydal as a team, Monster Mafia as a team. I mean, overall, the night sounds like it was really great.
Yeah, it's just the booking was so odd, because when you did Monster Mafia and the World's Cutest Tag Team, it really felt like the final. Like, it really had the emotion of a final, and I was just like, what the hell is going on? Because I knew something was up then, because why would you do this all this heat? Like, it was the match that had the most heat throughout the night, because obviously it was the big bad heels against the underdog babyface and Candice and Joey, but... It was just kind of weird, like, and I was telling people around her, like, yeah, this feels like the finals. And then when they did the title change, it was like this big shock, and everyone just was like looking at each other. And as you know, as I put in the tweets, the Roderick Strong actually cost the tag titles for the World's Cutest Tag Team. I don't know where they're gonna go with this. Like, it kind of throws all those plans out the window of like having Trevor Lee challenging and be the guy. Not now that Trevor Lee's actually like the tag team champion, it kind of puts those plans to the side, and it. I don't know, maybe they're going to do Candice and Roddy, it looks like, for the PWG title at the anniversary show, because That's what it seemed like. I mean, he knocked her out, and then he gave Joy a sick kick as well, but Joy was able to have a brief comeback, but, you know, just the two-on-one odds were not enough, and Joy got the pin, and Candice actually got protected, but just the strange booking, and there might be a reason why. I don't know if we talked about that yet, but from what I've heard, just flight issue, you know, and yeah, so basically that really changed the dynamic of the tournament in terms of ideal booking, because in the semifinals, you had two heels facing off. And what happened was Beaver Boys essentially became the de facto face team just because, I guess based on John Silver's size, because he was basically getting all the babyface heat in the match, even though it was a double heel match. And then what was interesting is that Beaver Boys were getting booed and having bullshit chants chanted at them for having a roll-up finish in the first round. And then the second round, people were cheering them to win the belts at the end. It was just so weird. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, still good matches all around. I mean, I think Team Tremendous did a hell of a job in their debut. I think they really got over to the point where I think they could potentially win the belts down the line. They got really over with the crowd more so than I thought they would, especially Bill Carr. I'm officially nicknaming him Big Bubba Bill Carr because not only does he emulate Big Bubba Rogers, but he just, he really, I mean, he did the Bubba Slam and the crowd popped huge for a Bubba. I've never seen a Bubba Slam get that big of a pop. And it was pretty amazing. And the fact that, I don't know, spoiler alert, but he did a Canadian Destroyer. I'm not sure if that's Bill Carr's regular thing. But yeah, Bill Carr did a Canadian Destroyer and the crowd lost their shit. And he did a dive and the crowd lost their shit. I mean, Team Tremendous got super, super over. It's a shame they didn't go to the semifinals, but I guess they're going to build up to their first big win. Just the odd night around just because of the booking. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, basically, it was almost booked in reverse, it felt like. And now you're in a situation where Trevor Lee and Andrew Evner are the champs, and I'm not even sure if that was the plan to begin with. And now, I mean, the thoughts we had of the summer of, like, you know, Trevor Lee being the singles guy and then building a Monster Mafia World's Cutest Tag Team feud is kind of out the window now because it seems like it's going to be Roddy feuding with maybe both Joey and Candice, which is kind of weird. And I don't think Candice is going to get the belt. So it's just a lot of weird things that happened over the course of the show. And I mean, it seems like they were originally what they had in plan was not what they had at the start of the show. It seemed like, I don't know if it was on the fly booking, but yeah, it was just seemed kind of odd by the other second half of the show, just with the booking. But the main event was still pretty good because Beautiful Boys ended up being heels again. And they worked over Andrew Everett's leg, which is the hurt leg that he hurt last year. So they told a good story in the match. And of course, Trevor Lee, being the master of the small package, won with the small package. But just a weird show. I don't know how it's going to be received, but a lot of good matches. But just a lot of weird matchups that kind of seem to be made up on the fly. But still a great show overall. And we'll see where the storylines go from here, because what we had planned or envisioned seems to be in the works. So.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, aren't you kind of just expecting that from PWG? Right, you know, you had all your brackets up, and you and Jerome were talking about it, and of course, you know, none of it happens. So, you know, that's par for the course for us, right? We're always wrong when it comes to
PWG. Jerome jinxed it again, so you were right, Jerome. That's what it was.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, overall, still pretty exciting, and Andrew Evan and Trevor Lee continuing to be the team that, you know, it's just shocking that these guys aren't signed somewhere, right? But, which is actually, I think, good for the rest of us, because we get to see them in a lot of different situations, get to see them in different promotions, and they're too, I mean, sooner or later, these guys, I mean, they're going to be all over the world, so, and they already have been, in many respects, but that also was not the only thing that was going on. AIW held their J-Lit tournament this past weekend, two nights of it, which, Jerome, you were there live, and for night one, I mean, a lot of the semifinal matches were all set up, but there is a particular, like, what, some Too Cold Scorpio defeated Cheech, Raymond Rowe defeated Ricky Shane Page at the end of the night. And I mean, that seemed to be the story overall of the J-Lit. So, Jerome, you know, I want to get your thoughts on it, but also the overall of the entire tournament. I mean, I heard some of what you were talking to with John Thorne. And for anyone that didn't listen to that podcast, you really should go check it out, the interview that we had with John Thorne up. Because, I mean, a lot of different points talked about, not just the tournament itself. And, Jerome, I guess my only question for you is, are you now a bigger or lesser fan of Too Cold Scorpio than you were the first time you saw him wrestle?
I mean, I would say I'm about the same. I mean, Scorpio was one of the highlights of the tournament. I think, you know, there's no reason to go over all of the results for the KT Lightning and Girls Night Out. There were 33 matches that took place across those three shows, and most of them are really, really outstanding. And, you know, there's so many guys that you could argue are stand-up performers, Scorpio being one of them. I think the biggest guy who went from sort of a, you know, just another guy to being someone that's going to be a player in AIW, I would say Tracy Williams is the strongest argument for that. I think Williams had a sort of the unpredictable run to the semifinals. I think he had one of the best matches of the entire tournament, that taking place against Athena in the second round. It was just unbelievable to watch those two go back and forth, and it was really a good match, and not, you know, not a good intergender match, and not typical of a lot of intergender matches that you'll see. I would say from a structural standpoint, it felt more like the Kimberly Drew Gulak match from Beyond Wrestling than, you know, what is usually done with some of these intergender matches. But I think there was a lot of really good stuff on this. And, you know, at the end of the night, of night two, when Raymond Rowe won, it made a lot of sense. Raymond Rowe is a guy who I think really was impressive in this tournament as well. You know, I think he had a really good matchup with Ricky Shane Page on night one. The match with Ricky with Nick Gage was an incredible spectacle, and that's the thing about Nick Gage. He's a guy that I am not necessarily a huge fan of, but I walked away from this weekend thinking that this guy should be working every AIW show from here on. And I think I say that because there's something about when he wrestles that there's a special kind of feeling that takes place with the crowd that not a lot of other independent wrestlers, there's a feeling and an ambiance to his matches. The best person that I can describe it in a similar fashion is Super Dragon. I think for people who are sort of looking for a way to think about that, it's not that his matches are 4-star, 5-star technical masterpieces, but there's just something about when he wrestles that it feels like it means something. And he's a guy that he forces you to pay attention from the moment that his theme song hits. So this was a spectacular weekend for AIW from an artistic standpoint. As much as I felt like last year's tournament under-delivered, I felt like this year's tournament over-delivered. The one aspect I think was disappointing, particularly for night one, the attendance was not very good for this show. Night two was better. But I'm surprised that they did not completely sell out that venue for Samoa Joe and Johnny Gargano. I mean, that to me was the big draw, even more so than the tournament. So I was a little surprised and disappointed by that. But night one was going against the Cleveland Cavaliers game, so it's pretty unreasonable to expect that was going to go well for AIW. But, yeah, I mean, the weekend was just really good. And the matches that I think stood out, obviously Tracy Williams and Athena, Nick Gage's matches I think stood out. I think the finals were really good, too. I haven't mentioned Josh Prohibition's name, but he was arguably one of the MVPs of this tournament as well. Just, you know, to see someone who is – he's not someone who wrestles every weekend. And he had four matches and really busted his ass. And it really, it was very fitting that at the end of the 2015 J-Lit that you had two guys who were students of JT Lightning going at it. And it's unfortunate that Johnny Gargano could not have been in this tournament because it would have just made so much sense for him to be involved in that three-way as well. But I think the right guy won. I think Rowe is a tremendous heel. I think Rowe is a guy who can have great matches with everyone. And I really got to see, you know, I hear some of the hype surrounding him, and you know, obviously Hansen is a guy that Buddy and Ring of Honor is high on. But to me, I saw a lot from Raymond Rowe this weekend, and he is someone that I really want to see more of in the coming weeks. So yeah, my overall assessment of J-Lit, both nights are worth a purchase on DVD or MP4. And if you were not a fan of last year's tournament, this year's tournament was so much better. And I think so much of that is because you know, I think what people thought of this tournament, they didn't see a lot of the bigger, quote-unquote, independent names. But you still had, you know, Ring of Honor guys, you had TNA guys, you had Lucha Underground guys. You know, I tweeted this out on Saturday night, but and this obviously included Gargano and Samoa Joe. But you had guys who were contractually obligated to WWE, TNA, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, and you had a guy in Nick Gage who was arguably the face of CZW, and a guy who was arguably the face of the WWN Universe in Johnny Gargano. And that's in one night that you had all that. That's pretty amazing as far as I'm concerned. So the J-Lit was very, very good. And I think the best news of all was that Tim Donst announced that he was making his comeback at Absolution, and he is wrestling someone that, from all accounts, is a guy that he has a great deal of admiration for and is sort of a role model for him as far as wrestling, and that is Nick Gage. I guess Tim Donst, this is a match that he really wants. Hopefully it's his comeback and it's not like a last hurrah, but regardless, we are going to see Tim Donst wrestling coming off of cancer and everything that was associated with that. But we're going to see Tim Donst and Nick Gage at Absolution, and if that's the match that Tim Donst wants, then absolutely that's what he should get. Even if I wasn't a fan of Nick Gage by the end of the weekend, I would say if that's who he wanted to wrestle, then by God, let him do it, because he absolutely deserves it. He's one of the best people in wrestling, so I can't really argue with that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I missed. Josh Alexander, Ricky Shane Page had some really good interactions. Maybe Dave can talk a little bit about Girls' Night Out a little bit. But, you know, I think they've really set up Absolution very well. You've got at least five matches, you could argue, that have already been built up, including BJ Whitmer and Davey Vega, when BJ Whitmer put Davey Vega through a table and took him completely out of the tournament. And they did a really nice job of protecting Vega and not having him lose in the tournament. And, you know, Ricky Shane Page, I think some people might be bothered by the fact that he's the number one contender and he lost in the first round of the tournament. But unfortunately, because of guys like Tyson Dukes and because of Jennifer Blake not being able to make it, I can see why AIW was basically boxed into this sort of booking decision. So given the last minute nature of how this all developed, I can understand why AIW did what they did. And I think that follows suit for Girls' Night Out as well, with Alexa and with Jennifer Blake not being there, and with Candice LeRae not being there. Candice LeRae had a family emergency, Tyson Dukes as well. So I know that there were a lot of people that were extremely unhappy with some of what happened at Girls' Night Out. And I know I've been talking for a while, but I'm going to talk a little bit more. You know, there were a lot of people that were particularly bothered by the fact that the students main evented Girls' Night Out. And I think from a theoretical standpoint, I can see why that looks really, really bad. But when you're in that venue and you see, and you look behind you at the bleachers, and you're looking at all of the friends and the family of the six students, it's obvious to me that based on the draw, a lot of people were there to see the students match. Whether that's fair or not is up for debate. But if I was in AIW's position, I would have main evented with the student match as well, simply because I wouldn't want half or 60% of that crowd leaving at intermission or whenever after the student match took place. So maybe it's in bad form, maybe not, but I would have main evented with that as well. And it's the same thing for Tyler Thomas. I would rather see Tyler Thomas get another match, even if it's on the girls' show, than to see one less match on that show. So I think AIW did an amazing job of just recovering and not allowing the last-minute cancellations to hurt the quality of the show. Because if you had just watched these shows and didn't know about the cancellations, I don't think your perception of them would be any different. So from an attendance standpoint, maybe it wasn't AIW's best weekend, but I would argue artistically, it was one of their best weekends ever.
Yeah, Dave, talk to us a little about Girls' Night Out and having the student six-way kind of main event the show, and then your overall thoughts of the J-Lit as well. Because, I mean, obviously, a different viewpoint. Jerome, I agree that Raymond Rowe, I mean, they kind of made him, and, I mean, I've enjoyed his stuff in the International Wrestling Cartel, and I said that, you know, when he was obviously doing a little bit more in Ring of Honor, and now that he's got this behind his back as well, I think this is a pretty good showing for him. Could be a really great year. So, yeah, Dave, your thoughts.
Yeah, Girls' Night Out was, I mean, it was disappointing because all the cancellations, and especially Candice not being there, that was a bummer. But, I mean, you can't really blame anybody for that, so I'm not mad about it. It just, you know, it's, you know, it just sucks. I mean, the students main eventing. Yeah, I understand that. Like, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have them on the first match and then everybody leave. Because I think, honestly, if you look at the attendance numbers, Girls Night Out might have been the highest attended show that weekend. I mean, Night 2 was pretty good, too, for J-Lit. But, I mean, there was a lot of people in the bleachers for Girls Night Out. And it was probably mostly for that student match. So, I mean, I have no problem with that going on last. And they said that match isn't going to, like, that's going to be a bonus on the DVD. It's not even going to be the main event of the DVD. The Dream Partner tag is the official main event of Girls Night Out 15, so that's fine. Overall, it was a good show. As far as the actual matches, I actually thought the opener was Ray Lynn and Angel Dust. Ray Lynn's pretty young, hasn't done a lot. She was in OVW, and she's been in some Midwest indies. I had no expectations of that match, and that match was really good. I really was impressed with Ray Lynn. She did a great, like, kind of bratty heel gimmick. I thought her and Angel just really had a good opener. Crowd was really into it, so that was very entertaining. The tag match with Mary Elizabeth Monroe and Taylor Hendricks was also a good story. Mary Elizabeth was the babyface. You got Taylor Hendricks as the heel. They obviously didn't get along, and then there was just a bunch of interactions. Taylor Hendricks really is underrated as a character. I mean, she's not a great wrestler in the, like, compared to, like, someone like Athena or whatever, but as a character, she's fantastic. The stuff she does, I mean, she did a thing with the ref when they were checking for weapons and stuff, where she put her leg on his shoulder, and that was pretty funny. I mean, just she doesn't feel like she's a regular at any one in promotion anymore, but I think she adds something to all the shows she's on. I just really appreciate her work as a heel, especially. The rest of the show was good. I thought Allison Kay and Mia Yim had a pretty good match. They've obviously have a history, and they weren't originally supposed to wrestle each other, but because of all the cancellations, they just fate intertwined there, and they had a match, and they're always entertaining. They had one of the better feuds in AIW a couple years ago, so it was kind of neat to see that again. There was a great spot in that match where Allison Kay went outside, went to the concessions, grabbed a hot dog, and then they fight over a hot dog, which sounds kind of stupid, but they did it really pretty well, and it was a funny moment in the match, I thought. The Dream Partner tag, it was an intergender tag. I was kind of bummed about that. I was really, you know, thinking maybe it would be, you know, four women, but I mean, obviously for storyline sense, it makes perfect sense. Have Veda and Josh as a team. I mean, they're the main thing in AIW right now. So that was fine. Athena overall had a really good weekend, I thought. Like Jerome said, her match with Tracy Williams was really good. Her match on Friday with Flip Kendrick was also pretty good. So she had a really good weekend. She really delivered, I thought. I mean, Girls Night Out, I wouldn't say this was the best Girls Night Out they've had. I thought the last taping when they had a Girls Night Out 13 and 14, I thought those were top to bottom the best Girls Night Outs so far. But this one was okay. I mean, it's worth a watch, I think. As far as the whole J-Lit, I thought one person who hasn't been mentioned yet, I thought had a really good match was Alex Daniels. Had a great match with DJZ on Friday in Night 1. He killed himself in so many spots in that match. I thought those two really had a great match, and really, that's kind of like the sleeper match of Night 1, I thought. I also thought Cedric Alexander had a great debut for AIW. I haven't seen much of his work because I don't watch ROH religiously or anything, but I know he's good, and he really impressed me. So I thought he had a great debut for AIW. Other than that, I mean, Raymond Rowe, I've seen him on a bunch of AIW shows now, and that guy is really, really impressive because everything he does is very methodical, and it just everything looks like it just hurts so much. And, some matches, stuff looks a little weak, but not with him, and he kills it. So, I mean, overall, Friday and Saturday, I had a lot of fun. I mean, Too Cold had a not so great. I would say Too Cold and Cheech, their match wasn't that great on Friday, but Too Cold definitely had a better match on Saturday. So he made up for it in big time on Saturday. So, I mean, overall, the whole weekend was pretty good. So, I mean, I mean, AEW is just a really good company right now. They put on quality stuff. And even if this weekend didn't draw that well, I just think they're worth watching for sure.
So we got to talk about this. We got to talk about a correction on the website. So originally at Chikara101.com, it was reported that the main event between Dasher and Blaster McMassive was a mask versus hair match. And Blaster McMassive lost. And I instantly texted out to, I think, Jerome and Kevin and other people. Basically, he lost his beard because that's what was reported. And that was not the case. Kevin, he did confirm it that it wasn't. So thank God, everyone, you can all breathe a sigh of relief right now. But then the second show, Chikara Anniversario, took place May 24th. You know, I don't know really what I can say about it, Dave. I think people that follow Chikara, I'm going to be interested as hell to see what Justin and Kevin Ford have to say about this show. But you read some of the stuff on Chikara101.com, and I don't know. What were your overall impressions of the show? And, I mean, I guess for the people that were there live, how did you feel their reactions were? Because other than even the Grand Championship match, Halle Wicked versus Ashley Remington, I don't know. It seems like a lot of mixed reviews for it.
Yeah, I mean, the show was packed. I mean, they only used half the gymnasium in Easton at the Funplex. I mean, they've used the whole gymnasium before, but they used half. But, man, they packed people in there. They ran out of chairs before the show. They didn't have enough chairs for everybody. So they must have had a lot of walk-up or something. But, yeah, there was a ton of people in there. I mean, overall, the show overall was really good, I thought. It was a little disappointing, mainly because, you know, it's an anniversary show, so you figure maybe they'll bring someone back from previous, you know, years or whatever. But they didn't really do anything to reference, you know, being the anniversary. So that was a little bit of a bummer, because a couple years ago they had a really fun anniversary show in Easton where they had, a bunch of people from season 3 there wrestling, you know, the current people. They just had a ton of, retro stuff on that show. But this show, it was all, you know, it was all the new guys. But, I mean, I would say the main event, I can understand was some. I can see why some people might not like it, because the main event felt a little rushed. It kind of just ended. Hollow Wicked hit a Yakuza kick, and then he got the pin. It felt like that match had, five more minutes at least to go. But it was a really fun show. I mean, the biggest things coming out of it, you got Oleg is now the number, 3 points for the championship. You got that. And you got Crown and Court of Kimberly and Jervis Cotton Bell. You have 3 points for the tag titles. So those are your next two title matches set up there. The other thing was the Volgar debuted his new persona at this show, and he's now, I don't get this name, but Juke Joint Lucas Calhoun is his full name. I don't know what a juke joint is. I have no idea. But he's basically this Memphis style, almost like a honky tonk man kind of guy. It's kind of goofy. It's almost like he's a baby face, but he's with, Condren, so he's on the heel side. But it's kind of weird. I don't really get it. But I mean, this is his first match, and he was pretty sloppy. I mean, they were in the four corner tag team match, and every time Calhoun was in the match, there was a few spots there where he was, pretty sloppy, and he messed a few things up. But overall, though, I wouldn't say the show was bad at all. I would say every match was fun. I just think the main event could have been better, especially with Dalton Cat, Ashley Remington in the main event. You would expect it to be really, really good. And it was fine, but I felt it was a little too short. But, I mean, the match overall was fun. The other thing was, there was a really weird moment at the end of the Snake Pit and Wrecking Crew match. Snake Pit and Wrecking Crew match. John Barber was the ref, and the ending seemed to be there was a pin at the end where...
But with a Uranagi suplex by Kingston on the Jaka. Yeah, the report it said it was, badly mistimed. I mean, so this was noticeable.
Yeah, there was a fire Barber chant after it, the whole crowd. I mean, I Barber the whole day, every time he was in a match, everything about him, he looked like he was depressed. I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if it's a gimmick or is that just him. But he's really bad. He's always been bad. I don't know why they can't find someone better. I don't know if this is going to lead to some big angle at some point. But I don't know. But he's terrible. Yeah. But he went to count the three, and like he didn't count the three. Like it was a clear three, but like I don't know. Like it's almost like it wasn't supposed to be the three, but then so they kept going for a little bit and they kept fighting, and then all of a sudden the bell rang. And it was turned into this big schmoz where they all got, you know, and then Kingston went crazy and flipped a few tables and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I know it's a, some people say it was a no contest, but there was a definite winner. They said the Snake Pit won, but.
Yeah, so yeah, they, Snake Pit was, yeah, they were the winner. So,
yeah, so they get the point or whatever for the tournament.
Yeah, and then some people are saying that it did go to a no contest.
No,
you know, I think it's obviously it's confusing
because it looked like it was a pin, but then everybody just started fighting. So you thought, all right, maybe it's a double DQ or something. But then they rang the bell, and then Gavin announced, you know, the Snake Pit won by pinfall. So yeah, it's weird, but it's all because of Barber, man. I'm hoping it leads to like some gigantic heel turn for him, where he's like this mastermind behind something. I don't know.
Because we need a heel ref in wrestling.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I just don't understand. There's better refs. You can get better refs.
Sure.
I mean, when you have the entire crowd chanting "Fire Barber," I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, I kind of don't. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, it's a fun show when it comes out. You know, Kevin and Justin will be talking about it. But Dave, obviously, thanks for your live review of it. Hey, go check it out, guys. I mean, Chikara has a new streaming service too, so why not?
It'll eventually show up. It's Chikara. I feel like you either love it or you hate it. There's not a lot of.
I find that that's debatable, but that is a debate for another time.
Okay.
But before we get going on, I mean, Dave, I want to thank you for all that. So, Dave, why don't you throw out your Twitter handle so people can follow you and let people know where you're going next?
All right. I am at Dave Muscarella. I mean, I have Facebook, but don't add me on Facebook because if I don't know you, I'm not going to add you. Other than that, my next thing, I am actually in 2 weeks going to Canada for Smash. That'll be my first Smash trip to Toronto. They're doing the Give Divas a Chance All Women show, and then the AOS show, which will have Joe versus Hero as the main event on that. So that's my next deal in 2 weeks, July 6th, I believe.
Awesome. Fun times. Well, thanks again, Dave, and we'll have you on again pretty soon. All right. So as we move forward, as I said, there's lots of news to talk about. You know, the big thing, obviously, I think that it's the elephant in the room. It's Samoa Joe confronting the former Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens on NXT. And right before that, you also had Kevin Owens showing up on Raw and beating up Cena, and he is in a match with John Cena, arguably the biggest name in WWE. We all realize he's been pushed down a little bit, down the ladder, which, hey, you can argue is either a good move or whatever. But Kevin Owens obviously had a really big week. Samoa Joe now, obviously not exclusively, and that's something we have to talk about. So, because I see a lot of people debating this, and look, whether or not you want to believe what the Wrestling Observer is reporting, they are the standard bearer, so I'm trusting the report is that his contract is very similar to what Rhino has, in that he's not exclusive to NXT, he's not exclusive to WWE, he's obviously working dates. I mean, just today, Ring of Honor announced him for their TV taping in NYC for Aftershock on July 20th, and he's doing a lot of other shows as well, and then, you know, Jerome, you got to see him in AIW. So this is not a situation we see a lot, but you can compare it. He does have a t-shirt, though, which apparently has sold out, so that's pretty awesome for him. But it also is a situation where this is something WWE hasn't done a lot, and it's intriguing. I think a lot of fans are going to find something fascinating about this, because if he's working not just as an indie wrestler but also on the NXT specials, I mean, yes, he's going to be on a couple of TV shows. So I think this is a really exciting time, because that's never been done before. So, Brian, I'm actually going to get your thoughts first on this, just because – you know, there's a chance you could see Samoa Joe in PWG. We're obviously going to see Samoa Joe on Ring of Honor television. Does that intrigue you a little bit more than just going, I mean, yes, seeing Samoa Joe on NXT confront Kevin Owens is great, but we actually get to see him also on the part of the wrestling that we like to focus on.
Yeah, I got a feeling that this is not going to last long. I mean, it's cool and all, because if you think about it, it would essentially, Joe would just be working two NXT dates a month, I think, right? Because I don't think he's doing house shows. I think he's just doing the TV tapings and the specials, right? Because, I mean, I haven't heard him being announced for any house shows or anything like that so far. So I don't think it's going to go
away. The idea is that NXT is going to be doing tours and Samoa Joe and other indie guys that they eventually sign. That's why they're going to be signing these guys, is so that they can do two full tours, half of the guys touring around the country and then the other half touring in Florida. The men and women who are not quite ready yet are going to be in Florida.
Okay, yeah, that makes me think this deal's not going to last long as the way it is. Because, I mean, I keep hearing NXT is going to go on a full-blown tour by next year. And, like, this is, like, the experimental year of what they're going to figure out where to go and whatnot. So I think that, I mean, with Joe going around, I think maybe it's just him trying to make as much money as possible before committing, which is, you know, the smart thing to do. It's the old-school way to do it, going from territory to territory, like Bruce Brody and, you know, all the Abdullah the Butcher and that kind of thing. And I think it's good for the business because it gets exposure to, I mean, it's like you're basically promoting NXT in a way at a local indie event. So, which is kind of, it's kind of, you know, both parties, you know, get an advantage, and you promote the NXT, you promote the local event. So it goes hand in hand. You know, I expect good things out of this. I expect, but I just don't see like long-term for Joe because I mean, they're already doing Steen and Joe off the bat. They're not really building up to it. I mean, a big, like, you know, a long, long build. I mean, they already taped the match, I believe. But it's just, I don't know if this is going to last long. You know what I mean? I don't know if this is like a trial run.
Well, reportedly, the contract's length is about 2 years. But obviously, yeah, you're right. They could shorten it. They could renegotiate it. And I do believe that there is an aspect to where Joe getting that voiceover work for the Game of Thrones video game, that his manager had to play that up, saying, hey, guys, we have all these projects we're interested in. We don't necessarily want to have to go toe-to-toe with you about this.
Right.
So let us do our thing for a little while.
Right. And the only thing I'm worried now is that once, I mean, all these different dates and different promotions, you know, God forbid he gets hurt, you know, like an injury here and there. But I'm just worried that he's going to get injured and this whole deal is just going to go turn sour. They're like, okay, we definitely can't let you do this. You got to choose one or the other. That's my only fear about this because, you know, that's what everyone's thinking. You know, like, what if he gets hurt and they're going to blame, like, let's say he gets hurt in, like, AIW, and they're going to blame AIW, and that's going to sour their relations, and he can't book Joe again, and now they're going to be questioning whether or not Joe can do the indies and blah, blah, blah. So that kind of worries me, you know, because that's what kind of what happened with Adam Cole, kind of led to the whole PWG situation with the ROH guys. So ideally, this seems great, but realistically, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, let's see how the summer goes. Right now it seems like they're building, I mean, Samoa Joe and Kevin Steen maybe for the next special with maybe like no DQ. Cause I mean, okay, spoiler alert, everybody, they had a match and, things didn't go, there was not a finish essentially. So they're obviously building up to like something more with those two. I just don't know if it's going to work. I mean, I'm loving the idea. I love the buzz going around, but I'm just worried something's going to go bad and then the deal's either you got to do, go back to the indies, or you're going to have to stick with us permanently. So that's my only worry. I don't know the whole terms of the contract, if that's possible. I mean, you know, contracts are always, you know.
Yeah, but that's not something probably discussed in the contract. That's more a subjective situation where if he gets hurt somewhere else, what does WWE think of him? It's not like they explicitly would have that written in the contract because that's just, I mean, that's
right. Yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, now it sounds great, but I'm thinking like 6 months from now, what's the situation going to be? You know, is WWE going to be happy with him? You know, like, you know, what if he's not like at 100%?
Well, that situation could arise with anything. So it's not really just something with Joe. Like, for example, you have all the contracts of guys who they have under contract to NXT and some of their thoughts on them, like maybe upper management's thoughts on Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens, whatever they think of them. And why, you know, why it took so long for some of them to get up to the main roster. I mean, you look at Finn Balor, I don't think there's any argument that he shouldn't be on the main roster right now, and he's not. And for whatever reason, that's just how it is. So, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't stress too much about it because it's not, at the end of the day, it's their subjective viewpoint. And everyone's going to always say, oh, they have this preconceived notion. So, and if you think of that too much, then it just becomes a huge
whatever. I think this contract proves that you can throw those out the window. I don't think this isn't a Vince McMahon WWE thing. This is a Triple H and NXT thing. So I think it's just a different situation, I think, for everybody involved. Samoa Joe, who knows whether he's actually going to go to the WWE, the main roster, But I think it only makes sense for everyone involved for Samoa Joe to be in NXT, to work, you know, the smaller buildings, and to work with, you know, the independent guys that he has either worked with or is very familiar with their styles. I mean, Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens, it would be, if that happened in Ring of Honor tomorrow, that would be an independent dream match. And I think it's just a situation where I think everybody gets exactly what they want. And Samoa Joe has the freedom to get as many bookings as he wants to with any company, apparently, except I would assume Samoa Joe probably wouldn't even want to go back to TNA at this point. But, I mean, he gets to wrestle on Ring of Honor television, and he gets to wrestle for WWE television. So it's great for him that he has all of these options, and I'm sure that he is being paid quite handsomely to do these dates. And it's a victory for NXT because they get a quality veteran who can go into the ring and wrestle with any of the guys. And I think for Triple H, I think it's a win for him because if he wants to start touring, he's going to need these guys like Samoa Joe and maybe others to sort of supplant the roster. You know, I don't know how big developmental is going to be and how many indie guys they're going to carry, but, you know, they're going to need some guys to fill up these shows. And I think it's a really good, I mean, a guy like Samoa Joe has that credibility with the type of audience that is watching NXT. So I think this is great for everybody involved. And until Samoa Joe is a guy who's very smart, and he knows exactly what he's doing when he's in a wrestling ring. And he ain't going to do anything that he isn't comfortable with. Like, if somebody said, we want you to do a death match, Samoa Joe's going to tell him to fuck off. So I trust Samoa Joe to make the kinds of decisions that are going to lead to him not getting hurt. And obviously, you know, injuries can happen at any point. But if Samoa Joe gets hurt, I think it's going to be because of something that is a freak accident and not because of something that a promotion asks him to do. Because Samoa Joe can walk out into any venue in any city and get one of the largest reactions. He doesn't need to take a bump, and people are going to love what he does. So I'm not too worried about it, and we'll worry about that issue when it comes up.
Yeah, for sure. It's just one of those situations where you got to look at it on its face and try to just let it flow, because right now we don't really know what to expect because there's not a lot of precedent here. I like the tweet that Samoa Joe put out a couple hours ago. He quote said, "Do yourself a favor, put away your preconceived notions of how you think business is done, and understand we are rewriting the book." And that says it all. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Obviously, we hope the best for Samoa Joe. It's been a long time coming. And the irony is just there. I don't even think we have to discuss it, guys. But clearly, the same day that the news comes out that TNA, you know, not renewed through September, and Samoa Joe doing really good stuff, the jokes just write themselves. It should also be mentioned that the Observer also reported that Biff Busick, Drew Gulak, and Chuck Taylor are scheduled to be at the WWE tryouts next month. You know, hey, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, but I'm pretty excited for them. So, good luck to them. So let's talk about some Ring of Honor. Like I said, Joe has already announced to return for Aftershock, the TV tapings. So obviously he's going to appear on their television. They also have a lot of Road to Best in the World. They got 4 shows coming up. 2 of them don't have any matches. The one on June 5th from Collinsville, Illinois. They have the main event, Jay Briscoe and Mr. RH Roderick Strong versus Michael Hogan and Moose. The World Tag Team Champions, The Addiction versus Delirious and Matt Sydal. And then on June 6th, at the Fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee, the main event, the World Tag Team Champions, The Addiction versus War Machine versus ROH World Champion Jay Briscoe and his brother Mark. And then Michael Hogan versus Matt Sydal. And then ODB is making a return to Nashville as well. And then that all proceeds on to Best in the World live on pay-per-view June 19th, Terminal 5 from New York City. I'm sure a lot of you are excited about that. Jay Briscoe versus Jay Lethal, the Ring of Honor World Champion versus the Ring of Honor World Television Champion. It is title for title. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I know a lot of people, we've seen this coming, so you never know. It's going to happen. And then Michael Elgin, Moose, and Roderick Strong are in a number one contenders 3-way match. We've been kind of saying this. We've been saying that Moose, you know, he's a guy, he's got something, but he's learning his craft. He's doing it well. He's kind of doing it the right way. What do you think of this right now? The resurgence and also him being announced as one of the Global Force Wrestling guys. Clearly, Moose is being positioned.
I think booking Moose in the main event's a terrible idea at this point because he's just not ready. He's getting better, but if you book him against Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe, then the match isn't going to be very good. I think Roderick Strong is the logical choice, particularly if Jay Lethal wins, because Roderick Strong is having a resurgent 2015. He's been one of the best performers across almost every independent company that he's involved with. To me, the choice is easy. Roderick Strong wins this match and wrestles Jay Lethal at Death Before Dishonor in July. That's the main event that I would go with. Those two guys have a history wrestling for the TV title. They've had really good matches. So to me, it's only logical that Roderick Strong wins, because I'm under the assumption that Jay Lethal is winning the Ring of Honor World title here. So if Jay Briscoe wins, then I guess they're going to have Moose win. But man, I like the first scenario a lot better.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. And we don't know. We don't know what's going on. Obviously, Moose is not going to be a part of the Global Force Wrestling TV taping shows, but he is on their non-televised events. So that works out for him. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him getting in front of other crowds. In terms of him being put in the main event, yeah, I am of a similar mind. The charisma, you know, and where he is in his training, you know, I don't know. Is it the right move? Is it the wrong move? I kind of like you. I'm going to have to be convinced of that. Roderick Strong, I think, would be a better choice, but it is what it is. And then there's always Michael Hogan. But we also don't know what's going on with that and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Obviously, those shows all on VOD. Go check them out. The TV taping of those shows are also going to be out on TV pretty soon. So we're going to get to see those matches. And New Japan, obviously, doing a lot of stuff. They have their Best of the Super Juniors tournament going on right now. You can check those results up on our Facebook page. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
And everyone should go watch Kyle O'Reilly versus Jay Lethal from Ring of Honor television, because it was really outstanding. So definitely check that out.
Yes, apparently, by all accounts, apparently better than the last Ciampa Jay Lethal TV match. So there you go. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out on TV as well. So the last bit of news that I really wanted to talk about before we talk about upcoming shows this weekend, AAW Killers Among Us taking place June 19th, going up against, you know, Ring of Honor, but that's fine. Happening in Marionette Park on the Bourbon Street. They have Chris Sabin versus Johnny Gargano, the Heritage Championship match, Christian Faith versus Lewis Linden, Eddie Kingston versus Tommaso Ciampa, and then just announced today, OI4K defending their tag titles against the Monster Mafia. Ethan Page, they have a video up for that right now. You go check that out. And, you know, I mean, so far shaping up to be a really good show. So, Jerome, I'm assuming, hopefully, you're going to be there. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's AAW. I mean, Kingston and Ciampa, I think that could be a blowaway match.
Yeah, I think that's the dream match that everybody wants to see Tommaso Ciampa in AAW. That's what they've been doing. They've been giving him a lot of dream-type opponents. He's wrestled Johnny Gargano, he's wrestled Tommy End, he's wrestled Davey Richards. So obviously this is a guy that AEW is very interested in pushing, and I hope it continues when he wrestles Eddie Kingston. I'm really looking forward to Irish Airborne, or I'm sorry, OI4K as they're now known. They're going to be wrestling the Monster Mafia for the AEW Tag Team titles. The Heritage title is going to be Lewis Linden against Christian Faith. I am very much looking forward to this show already with some of the matches announced, and it's going to be a ton of fun.
Wait, you said Chris Sabin's booked for the show?
He's wrestling Johnny Gargano.
Wait a minute. They just revealed him as like this mastermind in Ring of Honor, and he's not even going to be at the pay-per-view?
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Hey, does that mean that the Cara D won't be there? No. They will be defending the tag titles, most likely. And,
wow, that seems like a big, like, oversight, considering that this pay-per-view has been announced for, like, 4 months.
You know what? That's a discussion for another podcast. There's lots we can say about the Ring of Honor booking right now.
Sure. I mean, I'm just saying, like...
No, it's true. No, you're absolutely right. And trust me, that is a conversation, a much longer one.
Sure, I totally... gotcha.
But yeah, there you go. That is some of the major news going on right now. Let's talk about these upcoming shows, guys. Beyond Wrestling, obviously one of the bigger shows, The Real Thing, happens Sunday, May 31st. Samoa Joe versus Chris Dickinson as part of the Chaology. War Games, Crusade for Change, Darius Carter, TJ Marconi, Danny Only, and the Minutemen of Tommy Trainwreck and Devin Blaze versus the Garden State Gods, Eric Corvus, Mike Quest, Dave Cole, and the Symbiote, Ricky Shane Page and Davey Vega. We got Nick Gage versus Jaka, Shinron versus Kimberly, That's right. Intergender match for the CLL World Title match. That's going to be awesome. The effing tag team match of Death by Elbow, Chris Hero and JT Dunn versus Team Tremendous. And then the other tag team match of The Kingdom. Yeah, that's right. The Kingdom in Beyond Wrestling again. Mike Bennett and Matt Taven versus The Hoods. The Hit Squad of Mafia and Monster Mac versus EYFBO. That, if that's not a Haas match, I don't know what is. And then Matt Tremont and Stockade versus the Hooligans. Another match, which some could probably call a Haas match. And then, obviously, they have the Beaver Boys, Donovan Dijak, and Ryan Galeone also announced. So, big show from Beyond Wrestling. We should have the results for those as well. Should be a lot of fun. Evolve, also Evolve 43, happening May 30th in Queens. Obviously, it's on iPay-per-view. Use our link. Go check it out. You got Drew Galloway versus Biff Busick for the DGRSA title. The tag titles, Johnny Gargano and Rich Swann versus, I guess, his new... Drew Gulak and his new protege, soon to be named, Caleb Colling versus Davey Richards, Chris Hero versus Trevor Lee, TJ Perkins versus Mike Bailey, and Tony Nese versus Ray Horace. And then we also have Evolve 44 set for Long Island. So that, I think, I'm not going to say it has the quote-unquote better lineup, but a lot more matches that I'm looking forward to. Drew Galloway defending against his title against Roderick Strong, Davey Richards versus Drew Gulak, Rich Swann versus Trevor Lee, Biff Busick versus Mike Bailey, Tony Nese versus TJ Perkins, Ray Horace versus whoever Drew Gulak's new protege is, plus Johnny Gargano, Caleb Conley, SoCal Val, and more will be there. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Infinity Pro, May 30th, happening in Bloomington, Indiana. They got Lufisto, Heidi Lovelace, Trip Cassidy, Josh Crane. It's a really big show. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. You have JT Vega defending against a former ECW, WWE, and TNA star, which has just been... announced there on their website. They have the Painkillers versus RIF4K. They have, like I said, Lufisto defending against Heidi Lovelace, who apparently is the punk rock ragdoll. I probably should have asked Dave about that. I didn't know that that was her nickname. And yeah, a lot of other good shows. And expect to see a couple more reviews of their stuff on our website. But you can always go to infinitypro.bigcartel.com for tickets and go check them out. And then CWF Mid-Atlantic presents Homecoming Saturday, May 30th. They have a really big show, obviously, announced for that. They have the Lumberjack Max for the PWI Heavyweight Championship, Zane Dawson versus Eric Royal. I'm really looking forward to that. And if you guys haven't checked it out, check out CWF Worldwide on their YouTube page. We have a review up for it. Thanks for Jared Polk on the website. But from what I'm told, it was a really good show. I still have yet to check it out, but I was really busy this past weekend. But I will get to it. And, yeah, guys, you can get your tickets there, CWF247.com. They also have Ethan Sharp, Charlie Weston, Aaron Biggs, Roy Wilkins, the PWI Ultra J champion Ethan Case, and Chet Sterling all announced also for the show. So, guys, I think that is going to do it, and with barely any time to spare for this newscast. So, Brian, get out some of your plugs. Tell us what you have going on.
Okay, it's on Twitter, Brian DeBrain. It's DA, and that's not the. Pretty much, I've been watching. I'm trying to catch up on the Best of the Super Juniors. I'm also trying to catch up on the Ring of Honor shows with New Japan from a week and a half ago. So trying to catch up on some shows. I think, hopefully, if the stars align, I think I am going to do the live coverage of the final for the Best of the Super Junior. I believe that's in not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Yeah. So I think if I'm hopefully I'll be awake because I think it's starting at like 1 a.m. or something. But 1 a.m. West Coast time, so I'm pretty sure, 75% sure that I'm going to do it. Live coverage on the website and on Twitter. And then if you want some graphic design work done, just hit me up. I don't know, I think I'm going to do something Wu-Tang Clan related for the next PWG show because I forget the name of the next show, but it's actually a lyric from one of the Wu-Tang Clan songs on the first album, the chess boxing song. So we'll see what I can come up with, and just hit me up, and if you want to have some good discussion, hit me up as well.
And Jerome, what do you have going on?
Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor, and follow what we do, twitter.com/PWPonderings, and PWPonderings.com for all of your results and reviewing needs, all about the world of independent wrestling.
Absolutely. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We got a lot of stuff coming this next week. And, of course, we have our Reign fundraiser still going on. We are less than $200 away from our goal. So please share it. Let your friends know. Donate a dollar. Everything helps. And, of course, we want to thank everyone for participating in that as well. So thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And tell them, fuck them. I never loved them in salutations.